It's always really good to be with you guys on Mondays. It's a privilege to minister the Word of God to you. We do this because God loves you and because somebody cares for you. Remember, God loves you. His intention for you is His best. And this afternoon, we're going to continue on the series that we began a number of weeks ago called The Clothing of God. The Clothing of God, and it comes from Paul the Apostle's writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 17. Now, if you read the first part of Colossians 3, you read that Paul is writing, he's saying to the Colossians, that as Christ followers, as godly people, there are sins you are to avoid. In verse 5, he says, avoid sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And then later on in Colossians 3, verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with, and he lists the spiritual pieces of clothing, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgiveness in verse 13. He talks about God's love in verse 14. And you know, think about it from a physical standpoint. We're in the midst of some really hot weather here this summer, right? And it's important to clothe yourself correctly on a hot summer's day, right? What do you do to protect your skin? You've got to wear some sunblock lotion so that you stay healthy physically. You've got to wear lightweight clothing so that your body can breathe. It's good to wear a hat so your head is protected. On a really cold winter's day, a freezing day, you've got to clothe yourself correctly as well, right? If it's freezing out there, it's healthy physically to wear a heavy jacket, right? To keep away the flu and the cold and other illnesses. You know, likewise, in our spiritual lives, it is necessary to clothe ourselves with certain spiritual virtues to remain healthy spiritually in order to grow in our walk with God, in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have got to clothe ourselves with the virtues that Paul lists in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. And last week we talked about the crowning virtue. What is the crowning virtue that we are to clothe ourselves with? We're to clothe ourselves with the love of God, Paul writes in Colossians 3, 14. Agape love. Agape is the God kind of love. And how many of us here agree that some people out there are difficult to love?
Amen.
They irritate us, right? In things that they say or do. But God's love says that you choose to love them anyway. Some people are out there to attack us. We call them what? We call them enemies, maybe. But we're to love our enemies, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. So God's love, agape love, chooses to love the unlovable. It chooses to love those who attack you. It chooses to love those who irritate you. And the love of God, agape love, has a self-sacrificing characteristic to it. In other words, it puts self aside to minister to the needs of someone else, like the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Now this afternoon, we're going to talk about the eighth piece of spiritual clothing that Paul lists in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And this is what he writes. This comes from the NIV. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. I'd like to talk to you about peace today from several different angles. Let's talk about peace with God. See, when God created Adam and Eve, He created them to be at peace with Him, to be at harmony with Him. What did the Garden of Eden represent? The Garden of Eden represented friendship with God. It represented harmony with God. It represented fellowship with God. It represented the presence of God. In Genesis 3:8, it says that God walked about the garden in the cool of the day. The presence of God was in the Garden of Eden. And we find in Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17, that God tells Adam, he says, Adam, I've got one command for you in this garden. He says, you can eat of any tree off of any, you can eat of any fruit off of any tree. But one tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So in Genesis 3, who comes along to tempt the woman? The serpent, the snake, the tempter. He says, he said, you won't surely die. He says, God knows that you'll be like God if you eat the fruits. So the woman ate. She gave some to her husband. And immediately, God found out. Sin at that point entered the world by man's disobedience to God's command. And it says in Genesis 3:23 that God banished man and woman from the Garden of Eden. What does it mean? It means he drove them out of the Garden of Eden. What did that banishment represent? It represented separation from God. That's what sin is, friend. Sin is separation from God. And that sin nature has been passed down to succeeding generations. But there's good news. God wanted humanity, the people he created, to be back in harmony with him. And it was only with the shedding of blood that there was forgiveness of sin. So from the very beginning of time, from the Old Testament, God required the sacrifice, the shedding of blood for forgiveness of sins. And 2,000 years ago, he sent his very best, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the perfect sacrifice, who shed his blood on that cross. He was crucified, he was buried and resurrected, now seated at the right hand of God. And it's by faith in Christ and in the work of Christ that we can come back into harmony with God, back into relationship and friendship with God. This is what Romans 5:1 says. Paul writes this to the Romans, if you want to turn there. If not, I can read it to you. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith in Christ, by trust in Christ, by saying, Jesus Christ, I place my life into your hands. It's by that attitude that you come back into peace with God, that you come back into harmony with God. God wants to be your friends. Just like your best friend on this earth talks to you, God wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Later on, you'll have the opportunity. And maybe you accepted Jesus as Savior at one point, but you walked away from God. Later on, you'll be able to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus. Now think about this. All people, somebody once said, all people are created with a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. Everybody on the inside has an emptiness that only God can fill. The godless, those who don't follow Christ, how do they try to fill that emptiness? Some people try to fill that emptiness with material possessions, careers, money, houses, and boats. But you know what? That brings only temporary happiness. Here for a moment, and gone the next. You know, other people who don't follow Christ try to escape their worries and fears and anxieties. How? You know, they may be going a long life, and life throws them a curve. And they start to become fearful and worried and anxious. How do they try to escape that worry and anxiety? Maybe alcoholism, maybe drug addictions, maybe sexual immorality. But you know what? Those things bring only temporary escape. Here for one moment, and gone the next. And friend, you may be in that situation today where you're drinking to escape a problem. Maybe you're addicted to drugs to escape a worry or a fear. Maybe life has thrown you a problem, a challenge, and you're anxious. And you're searching for escape through a wrong relationship. Guess what? Only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can bring everlasting peace in the midst of our storms. You see, when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is ruling your life, His peace will rule your heart. It's only when Jesus is the Lord of your life that His peace can rule in your heart, as Paul writes in Colossians 3:15. How is that? Say that life throws you a really difficult situation. Maybe it's a loss. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a challenge, a problem. If you've got Jesus on the inside, guess what? You've got trust in God. You know that God has got your back. That God has got the entire situation under His control. You can rest in that. Fear and worry don't have any place in your life with Jesus on the inside. Because what does the Word say? The Word says that nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible to him who believes. So when life throws you a challenge, you can rest in the fact that I have Jesus on the inside. God has got my back, so I am not going to fear. I am not going to worry. It may try to enter your life. Fear and worry may try to come on in, but when you're trusting God and knowing that God has got your back, fear, worry, anxiety, they have no place in you. Is that making sense?
Yeah,
making sense. Well, let me give you a personal story. Just a couple of days ago, Saturday afternoon, I went to Big Splash, the water park here in Tulsa, with a friend. And we basically left our belongings under this lounge chair. Everybody was doing it. I just didn't want to spend the money to get a locker. So she put her towel over this chair. She put her bag underneath there. There was no wallet in there. There was about $4 in the bag, eyeglasses, a watch, and my keys. And so we had a grand old time that day riding the water rides for about 3 hours. So we came back around 7 o'clock that night to look for our bag. And guess what? The bag wasn't there. And all at once, my mind began to race. Like, what in the world happened to it? And my friend and I, we were talking, we were like, thank God there was no wallet in there with credit cards and so forth. So we went to the administrative staff, went to their office and said, you know what, our bag was there, it's now gone. I think somebody stole it. My mind began to race and race and race. But deep down on the inside, I had trust in God. I knew that God had our back, that He was in control. So the security officer for the water park said, you know what? He said, what's your name? What's your phone number? We'll call you if it comes up. He said, why don't you check the restrooms? And deep down on the inside, I just couldn't fear. I had a peace. Why? Because God had our back. I just knew it. So he said, check the bathrooms, the restrooms. We walked out of his office. I'm walking out, I look over to my right. Looked down and I said to my friend, Brandy, I said, isn't that the bag? She's like, yeah, it is. So we went and got the bag. Everything was there except a shirt of hers. They took nothing. They just left the bag outside the ladies' bathroom. I knew God was in control. Fear couldn't enter. It tried to enter, but it couldn't because God had our back. If He did it for me, friends, He can do it for you. Now, that's a small situation. Bigger things, bigger problems may come across your path. Just trust God. Know that nothing is impossible with God. Everything is possible for him who believes in God. If you have that trust on the inside of you, fear, anxiety, and its relatives cannot make entrance into your life. The peace of God will be there. Just trust in God. If something challenging, if a problem, a loss comes across your path, what do? Begin to pray to God. Look at Philippians 4. see what Paul writes to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," the key, prayer and petition, "present your requests to God." Verse 7, "and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." If life throws you a hardship, don't get anxious, don't get worried. Know that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, lives on the inside. He sits on the throne of your heart, and when anxiety tries to enter, what do? You begin to pray to God, right? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." Amen?
Amen.
So how many here today have Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, living on the inside? Look at what Jesus said in John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. This is what Jesus said. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What does that mean to us today? The Prince of Peace lives on the inside of us. And he's telling us, "My peace I give to you because I live now on the inside of you." And friends, when you've got peace on the inside that only Christ can bring, guess what? That peace, that harmony should overflow into your relationships with others. And let me ask you this. What is one of the main causes of discord, fighting, and quarreling? What is one of the main causes of disagreement, discord, and fighting?
Disagreement.
Material things. Selfish desires. Let's look at what James writes in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The peace of Christ on the inside, again, should overflow into your relationships with others. And that's why Paul says in Colossians 3, let's read that real quick again. Colossians 3, verse 15. He says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." In other words, if the peace of Christ is ruling in your heart, if the peace of Christ is the umpire of your life, that peace should overflow into your relationships with other human beings. Now, back to what causes fighting. James 4:1. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." That's what causes a lack of harmony. Discord and fighting is selfishness, selfish desires. James tells us clearly in James 4, 1 through 2. You know, recently I ran into a situation like this where somebody was working for my company. And it was a pretty easy day, and he thought that I should pay him a certain amount per hour. And I thought another amount was the price I should pay him. So we had a difference of opinions. I thought one amount, he thought another amount. And I was holding to my opinion, so it brought us into some fighting and quarreling. So I just decided, you know what, I want to keep the peace. I just said, you know what, brother, I'm going to pay you what you're asking for. I told him that, and guess what? Immediately, peace entered the situation. Harmony came between us. Ask yourself this question. You're going to come across situations with people where there'll be an opportunity for discord, disagreement, and fighting. When there's an opportunity to fight with somebody, ask yourself this question. WWCD, what would Christ do? If an opportunity arises for me to fight with somebody and quarrel with somebody, I need to ask myself WWCD, what would Christ do? If the peace of Christ is ruling in my heart, as Paul the Apostle writes in Colossians 3:15, if the peace of Christ is the umpire of my life, then I need to ask, what would Christ do? In that situation with that man that I just told you about, I had to ask myself, what would Christ do? And this is what Christ would do. Christ would set aside self to keep the peace and maintain harmony. And so should we. What did John write in 1 John 2:6? He says, if anybody claims to live in Christ, he must walk as Christ walked. What was the walk of Christ about? It was about keeping peace and harmony with others. What would Christ do? Let's look at how Jesus maintained the peace in Matthew chapter 17, in closing. Matthew chapter 17. Remember the collector of the temple tax. Verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. Verse 25. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon, he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? Verse 26. From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. And look at verse 27. But so that we may not offend them. And may I add, so that we may not create discord and a lack of harmony, Peter, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Jesus said the sons were exempt. Jesus could have held to his position. And he could have fought with the collector of the temple tax. But what did Jesus do? He set aside self to maintain the peace, to maintain the harmony with the tax collectors. Is that making sense? He says it so clearly in verse 27, but so that we may not offend them. Or if I can put it this way, so that we may keep the harmony. So that we may not create discord and fighting and quarreling. Peter, go and catch a fish. Open its mouth, and in the mouth will be the money to pay the taxes. Jesus knew how to keep the peace. He knew how to keep harmony with people. So whenever an opportunity arises for you to fight with somebody, for you to quarrel, for you to bicker and argue with another person, ask yourself, WWCD. Say it with me today. WWCD. What would Christ do? He would set aside self to maintain the harmony and the peace. What's another cause of strife and fighting? Pride. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. How many here have thought that their viewpoint was the only way? It's either my way or the highway. I ain't gonna bend, I ain't gonna flex. And the other person you're in relationship with thinks the same way. And you come together on a certain issue. And because you both don't flex, and it's my way or the highway for both of you, guess what? That breeds fighting, bickering, and quarrels. Ask yourself in that situation, WWCD, what would Christ do in this situation? Guys, we're going to see things differently. You're going to see the same exact thing in a different way than somebody else sees it. Don't fight with that person. Put your pride aside and say, you know what? I can see your viewpoint, and it's good, but this is what I believe. What would Christ do He would set aside pride and self and maintain the harmony. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 9. He said, blessed are the strife makers. No. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. What does it mean to be blessed? It means to be provided for. It means to have abundance. It means to have health in your body, provision in your finances, peace and joy on the inside. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. They are the ones who are part of God's kingdom, the peacemakers. You know, if you maintain the peace here on this earth with others, you'll see peace forever one day in heaven with God. It's only by being rightly related to others, walking in forgiveness, walking in harmony, that we will make it to heaven one day. And heaven is all about what? It's all about peace, God's peace, joy, and happiness forever and ever. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring harmony, for they will be called the sons of God. Paul says in Colossians 3:15, but let the peace of God, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. For you were called to peace as members of one body. Amen? Amen. Remember, when an opportunity presents itself for you to fight with someone out of selfishness, out of pride, remember, WWCD, what would Christ do? And that settles the issue. Does that make sense? Amen. Did you get something today?